and I was like, what did I do today? Why am I being subject to this?
Twitch.tv. So, declutter master.
So,
what it is.
All right. You good?
I'm chilling. I'm chilling right now. It's been a fantastic week.
Yeah, I guess I could say the same too.
It's been amazing. Stuff is just coming in the mail. Emails are being sent. Danielle is getting goodies. Cleaning house, getting rid of stuff.
I'm gonna be like, where did I put those headsets?
Danielle is getting goods. Hold on a second here. We got a show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. With notes too.
Just a couple.
And actual stuff to talk about. You believe that?
We have stuff to talk about every week.
Yeah, we do. Anything before we get going?
No, I am ready.
You are ready?
I feel ready.
You look ready.
Let's go.
Let's go. Episode 473 of the show radio. Daniela, what's up?
Let's see. I don't know. I feel exhausted, but in a good way. I have some long hours. Some long hours ahead of me for at least the rest of this week. And funny enough, right up until the day I leave for TwitchCon, I finish work at about 5 o'clock in the morning the day I leave for TwitchCon. Mm. And my flight is at 12. So, a lot of stuff happening, I guess, at work. But around the house, I don't know what it is that overcame me, because I mentioned that, you know, I'm waiting for a couple things to come in. I'm going to be rearranging stuff. And it was really only meant to rearrange the stuff, you know, in my room, in my setup. But I just went all out and just decluttered everything in my apartment. And I think a part of it came down to, like, spending time with my family, because my grandmother is kind of a hoarder. I kind of have that. I think everybody in Hawaii, in a way, is a hoarder. And I think it all starts with that first generation that immigrated over here.
Okay.
Because, like, everything has a purpose or can be reused for something. So you don't really get rid of stuff. Especially when you don't come from, like, a family of money. You just, like, you hold on to it. And it's like, you never know what this rubber grommet that you don't know what it goes to when you might need it. But, you know, here I am holding on to this thing. And like, my aunt, for, like, a week straight, stayed up to, like, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning cleaning out my grandmother's house. And they're like, you know what? I should do that for my own stuff. And so much stuff. Like, I don't even know why I kept homework from high school. I don't know why. I don't know why. Yeah. I kept, like, my notes or all of my notebooks from, like, my algebra classes, geometry, trig. Like, I don't know why I kept those. Like, for some reason, I just thought, you know what? You never know. I might need these notes. And how I did this, it was really bizarre. Got rid of that. Like, we made so many runs to donate yesterday. That's the part that felt good, was just donating my stuff. Because I keep myself in really, I wouldn't say good condition, considering how old they were.
Okay.
Because I had a lot of my textbooks, a lot of DVDs, and some of them still even, like, with my DVDs, some of them I'm very meticulous about keeping that outside plastic around it. So I'll only cut a slit so that I can take out a DVD to watch it. Like, especially if it comes in a sleeve. Or, like, my electronics. I am one of those people who keep the plastic on my electronics so that the day that I want to get rid of, I can just peel it off and it looks brand new and I can sell it.
Right.
And it is just, it's those little things. But we gave away so much clothes, and we went and did donations to a library. I donated a bunch of CDs, DVDs, books to the library. It just felt good. It felt good. It was very therapeutic. I realized that I have some anxiety getting rid of stuff, because I thought I was going to have a panic attack when I went to the library. I'm just like, it's okay. I don't need these game manuals and books for any of these games because I don't even play it.
So how many books and stuff are we talking that you gave up?
Because they don't count individual DVDs. So, like, I had a lot that were, like, seasons. So that counted, each season counted as just one DVD donation. But according to the slip that it gave me, I think it was 29 DVDs, 9 paperbacks, and 12 hardback books.
It's crazy.
And then, yeah, a bunch of shoes, bunch of clothes. Oh, and CDs, 14 CDs. So that was nice. It was nice to get rid of. Felt good.
Word.
I still have stuff to do and declutter, but for the most part, I'm about 80% done with my reorganizing of my apartment. I'm just waiting for these cube shelves to come in stock.
Okay.
So like everything that's going to go on top of those shelves is kind of like I have all the stuff there just sitting in its place. I'm like, I really can't put you anywhere until I get the shelving unit that I want. So you're going to sit here on the floor.
Yeah, because like even with the picture that you sent, you look like you were giving away a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but there's like, I just have to keep telling myself there's no point of holding on to it. There's like other people that can do so much more with what I have that I'm not utilizing. What I thought was weird, and I don't know why I thought it was weird, was that before I actually donated, I actually put up a posting on like a Facebook group for locals of free. I just put it out as free. It's like, here's free clothes, here's free shoes, here's free books, here's free DVDs, free. And I had pictures. Nobody wanted it.
Yeah, because the labor of getting it, it's not free because like they still have to go to you to get it. And I think sometimes just that process, people would rather just be like, whatever.
Well, I would have met with them. I would have done something. I would have met them halfway. I could have brought it to their house. That's the part that blew my mind. I'm like, I'm willing to drive to you with my stuff. I just want you to take it. I do have extra clothes. I still have more clothes to get rid of. But I do know that the Salvation Army and the Habitat for Humanity is very, very... They don't want to accept any more clothes. So I think that my next step is now contacting churches.
Yep.
So like there's some that do like, you know, they're associated with the helping of the homeless. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's my next step is go. Here's more clothes. There's stuff I'm not using.
Yeah, they should definitely take it. I mean, usually they do. I'll say that.
But it feels good for me to have more space, more room, just to let go, even though I don't want to let go.
Do you feel lighter?
I will say, no. Yeah, I guess I do.
Okay.
The only thing that I'm super attached to, I'm not letting go of, is anything from my gaming collection. Like, nothing. Like, the only thing that I let go are probably the strategy guides. And that was the 9 or 12 paperbacks. I don't remember. I think it was 9 paperbacks. That's what they counted for. Was right. The strategy guides for, like, 360 games that I don't even have anymore.
Mm.
So I'm like, I don't need this. Who uses strategy guides anymore?
Google.
I know, right? So that's how my entire week has been, and because of that I haven't streamed anything, I haven't played anything. This is like the first time I've turned on my computer during the week with intentions like, oh, maybe I'll get some work done, but I'm so busy and occupied with the rest of cleaning my house that I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'll just turn you back off. So this is legitimately the longest I've sat and used my computer all week.
Yeah, like you've been in and out. Like I saw your tweets and your progress. It was a long week. You were doing a lot, definitely.
It was. And it's also the most I've ever bought. It's amazing how much it costs to clean your house.
Wait, what do you mean? You were getting rid of stuff.
Well, yeah, but for the stuff that I want to keep because they've been sitting in boxes, stored away somewhere, out of sight, out of mind, I forgot that I had them. I'm like, oh, well, I want to have this on display. And like I said, I'm waiting to buy these shelves. They're like $100 each. And then I bought that, and then I'm going to buy that. Then there's cleaning items. I'm one of those people who love to have the LED lights around. Like, I don't like to have my main room lights as the primary light, so when we have like movie nights, I will turn on these accent lights that I have that are around to have some ambience of light, but it's not overpowering. I have those, so I bought like a whole new set, and considering buying the color changing ones that match what's going on the scene.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, let's go and just do this and do that. I bought these new green screens.
Okay, yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I did have a cloth that me and Gutter both had cloth green screens a really, really long time. But I wanted something that was, I could pack away and get it, you know, out of the way. So it's not always up and displayed 24/7. So these actually just kind of fold up into these nice little circles, like your car, you know, what are those things? Shades called? I can't remember.
Yeah, the shade, the sunshade things.
Yeah, the sunshades. So they kind of folds up like that, and I can tuck it away, and it only requires each of us to have one tripod to hold it up. And it's really nice. And so what I really super, super like about it is that there's constant tension all around it so that the fabric is always pulled tight. It's not, I don't have to worry about the fabric, you know, wrinkling in a way or like moving with the fan. Or
you
the
mean
wind.
Like mine?
Well, if you don't have any like wind going through your room, it's not that bad. But when you have like, basically we have windows open 24/7 here and the wind can vary.
That must be nice.
It's kind of an annoyance though.
Yeah. I mean, living where you live is like, ugh. I mean, really?
Yeah, I guess. But I like this one for right now. I still actually kept my part of the green screen. We got rid of Gutter's, but like this is the only thing that's bothering me is just having this closet door on my side here. I'm like, well,
right, because the window was there, right?
Yeah, because so everything that was in my room, I shifted. So my desk has shifted 90 degrees. So now instead of facing this way, it's this way. Actually, this is the closet door that used to be the background. Like, you can see the back. So that's what that is. So it's on a completely different one. Now it's on this side. I'm like, I didn't realize, I only realized this whole closet issue thing today when I turned on and I was checking my webcam to make sure everything worked because I said I haven't turned on anything. And I'm like, I didn't really think about this part. But we shall see. We shall see. I'm going to probably figure out something and probably use my old green screen to cover this up in a way temporarily until I figure out something else. But it's, you know, it just upgrades. It's just like when you upgrade one thing, you end up upgrading everything. And I'm like,
it's all good.
I kind of spent a lot this month.
It's all good. So this week has been very interesting. It's been an exploring type of week for me, especially with social media stuff. I'll just be very generic. So I'm testing a couple of things out, a couple of different formats on more so IG than anything else. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. And some posting templates and some stuff I've been doing there. Editing, messing around a little bit more with Audacity. That's been fun. And really, really excited for this week because we're going to give some quick impressions on the Black Ops 4. That's been exciting throughout. So definitely want to say shout outs to the entire team over at Activision for letting us check that out. So my impressions will be very, very light today. But as I really get into it this upcoming week, I'm going to give a little bit more. So I didn't want to rush that. I don't think it'd be fair for me to do that. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, Project xCloud by Microsoft, we'll touch on that. And everything else we have for entertainment, tech, and video game stuff.
Actually, okay, so you have the COD stuff that you've been talking about lightly about. Actually, I can actually talk about the headset that I got lightly about today because I started using that while dinner. Yeah, and then we'll go into the full thing. I think I can be a little bit more in depth on it next show because I started putting that through the ringer, especially now, especially with how much I've been doing and been nice having it. It came at the perfect time.
Okay, you got goodies. Okay.
Which I gotta go and find out where these goodies are.
Okay.
It's currently sitting in my bag. It's currently sitting inside my bag.
All right. We'll be right back after this. You gotta go? You gotta go get them?
No. I won't get it. I'll send a message and hopefully it just magically appear next to me.
Nice.
Like a delivery service.
All right. So then we'll come back to that. All right, so definitely blessed week for sure. Let's go with, so my NAS, right? It's So I'm going to post a picture probably Monday on Instagram. So look out for that. Of all the awesome hard drives that's going to be in my NAS system that I found out today that is going to be put together very, very soon. So the update is going to be the drives. So I want to post a picture of that on IG. So I'm excited about that. And I have the tower here. So maybe I should take a picture of the tower as well. And then you could do a swipe for that. Yeah, we could do something like that. So yeah, so I'm excited about that. PS4. It's interesting because I was like, I don't know how I wanted to frame this, but I guess as I'm thinking about it right now, so I'll say it this way. We've talked about Xbox, the OS, a lot, right? And we always praise the PlayStation of how smooth the OS is and how it's easy to move to the menus. Well, this week, that wasn't the case for me, okay? So PlayStation was the issue this week, okay? So I don't know what was going on with the OS. Like, the entire menu system was slow, and it was laggy, and it was skipping, and I couldn't access anything. At one point, the Plex server, you know, went down. Didn't know what was going on with that. But right before the show, it looks like it was just a reboot that it needed with some, you know, software installs or whatever. That's fine. But the PlayStation was just like, it was just being dumb. Like, it was just like, I don't feel like working today. I don't know what happened. And hopefully, if you're listening to this, don't take offense because I said dumb. Like, that, in the context of what I'm talking about, is just, it didn't make sense. Okay. So let's define it that way. Okay. So, it wasn't working. Don't know what was going on. And so I had to refresh everything to the factory settings and then make sure that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was moved to the external SSD as well as Destiny 2 because those are the main two games I'll probably be playing in the next couple of weeks. Blackout, I want to talk about that later for sure. And yeah, so that was my PlayStation 4 weird stuff this past week.
I have not turned on my PlayStation in a while. Now you're making me nervous. Was it an update? Was it the last update?
I don't even know if it was an update thing. It was just like out of nowhere. I was just playing, you know, Destiny. I was playing something, and then it was just like skipping and moving really slow. I'm like, this is very, very different, you know. And I think that it's one thing that we're always, you know, and I'll speak for me, that I always say, okay, Xbox this, Xbox that, and it seems like we give Xbox like a bad rap. And no, I didn't get an email from them or something special for me to say this that's setting up for me to get something from them or anything like that. So let's just, you know, get that out of the way. But it's just that it, based on conversations that we've had, it always seems like we always praise PlayStation for the most part. And it's seldom that we have something negative to say about, you know, PlayStation at all, right? And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't being biased on with this issue because I could easily not mention it. And it would always seem like everything is always great with PlayStation, at least for me, right? But yeah, it wasn't that case this week. This week I had some issues with the PlayStation. I had to reboot. It was inconvenient because I was trying to get max time for the impressions for the Black Ops today. And I felt like I was losing time because of trying to figure out what the heck was going on. So there was that. So after restoring to default settings, seems like everything is okay. Right now, running the two major games on the external SSD, so that should be all right. I don't know. I don't think it was an update or anything to answer your question. I think that maybe it's a user error. Maybe it was the software stuff that I don't know, but had some challenges there.
Okay. Now I gotta go and check.
No. And what's interesting too, further down in the notes, there was something that happened this week with some Reddit people that they were receiving some stuff. But yeah, we'll talk about that. So Black Ops impressions we'll give later. It's good. I'll say that. We'll definitely talk about that. Technology, anything before we go? We move on? What you got?
I can go into it.
You sure?
I have it. I have it.
You have it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you have the thing?
I told you it magically. Yeah, I told you it would magically show up. So we can put this into the technology. So
okay. So as a matter of fact, we can do that first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since you have it. So let's go right into it. So Danielle, I got some goodies.
I did. But this is just going to be initial first impressions. I still want to do a couple extra things to fully test it out. But I can say for my first impression initially, I really like it. I do. So what I got was, I had to go and look it up. Exactly. So it is the Monoprice True Wireless Earphones IPX4 Sweatproof Bluetooth.
Yeah.
With mic and portable charging case. This is super sleek. I don't know what it is. I love these types of colors because it's a nice, this one is a really, really nice, like gunmetal, dark gray color. It's a really super nice finish.
I'm jelly.
And the earphones itself are so incredibly light. Like I have, two other Bluetooth, headsets, that are wireless. One is a JPL, and it's actually one of those wraparound earbands. And yeah, I wasn't impressed by that thing at all. I actually regret that purchase. And the other one was very similar, kind of like into the designs that these headsets are, or these earphones. And there were some like off-brand Asian thing that was like, it was okay. But this one, first of all, I didn't actually go and look up what the price of this was beforehand, or even when I started trying them out. But the design, the look of it, I would automatically put it probably like around the $100 range. I would put it like the $99 range of kind of what I've been seeing most headphones at, or these affordable ones. So when I saw that this was actually only $50, I was shocked. Because, well, $50 is still a lot to a lot of people, but when you're talking about Bluetooth wireless earbuds, that's actually a really, really great price. And the sound, I've been using it at work. I know I shouldn't be listening to music at work, but we have some downtime sometimes, so I listen to music or I'll listen to a show or something. These I can literally wear all day and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt my ears. It sits really nice tucked in, and it kind of uses I don't want to say pressure, but this, just when you tuck it in and you curve it in, it holds into your ear by nothing really that's like holding it. It's, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what it is. Like the back part cartilage of your ear with that kind of pressure kind of holding up against it is what holds it in place. And I haven't had a problem with it falling out or having to adjust it whatsoever. Whereas the previous ones that I did have, I can maybe get by maybe an hour and a half before it starts hurting and bothering. The lifespan for these, I think on the website it says between 2 to 4.5 hours, which I've been having closer to the 4 hour mark than anything. I don't think I've had it last for only the 2 hours and die out that quickly. But other than that, there's currently only one thing I don't like about it, is that that my other headset does have that this one doesn't have. I can't actually use this independently. Like, what I mean is I can use, the left side is the dominant earbud. It's the one with the mic. It's the one that controls everything. It's the one they turn on and it starts the pairing. And sometimes, especially when I'm working, I obviously have to hear somewhat that's going on. So I'll only wear one earbud. Whereas with a headphone, sometimes I'll just take one off and I'll be like this. I'll just have it lifted off. So I don't always have both of them on. Now, what I like to do is, in the past, I like to be wearing one, and then when one side dies, I can still turn on the other side and continue listening or watching and use that earbud. I can't do that with this. It's either the left side or nothing. So left side, both sides are just nothing, which I'm not too sure how I feel about that. I've been trying to see maybe there's something that I'm missing, that maybe I can do it, but everything that I've tried so far, I can't pair these individually. Whereas the previous headbuds, earbuds, the Bluetooth earbuds that I have give me that option. This one doesn't. So that's the only downfall that I can see right now. I do want to continue trying it out and testing and see how it goes, with me working out and actually doing a lot harder labor than just kind of like sitting at my desk. But even with that one downfall, I'm still incredibly happy with this so far.
Nice.
And I like the little case. I really, really do. Oh my God. I don't remember which earbuds I had. These are wired earbuds and really, really long time ago. I still like them. And they just kind of wrapped up inside. Like there was like a self-wrapping mechanism in there. I don't remember which brand that was, but that's what this case reminds me of. Nice. Also reminds me of my grandmother's pill case.
Okay.
It does. Even when it lights up, like that nice light white to it, I think that looks so cool.
That's so fancy. Like this,
it is.
You should take a picture. Take a picture.
I will. As soon as I have a clean area in my home to do this. I keep telling myself I'm going to do this. And as soon as I can clear out space. Even my desk is a current mess right now. I'm getting there.
Dope. That's dope.
I didn't plan on talking about it, but since I've had it for about 5 days now. 5 days, yeah. It's like I can do a light first impressions on it and then go more into depth on it next time. Even though it kind of seemed like I went to depth in it now.
You can't help it. It's all good. No, it's really nice. When I saw it at the event, I was like, yo, this is dope. And I was like, man, this is really cool. But I'm like, all right, cool. So they were showing me all the specs and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, this is neat. I mean, it's a thing now. Like, it seems like almost every company is, you know, they're going that route with the truly wireless stuff, which is dope. So I'm glad that you're gonna have that for your travels. That's gonna be hot.
Oh yeah, that's another thing I want. Maybe I won't do it next time because by next show we wouldn't have gone to TwitchCon yet. No, I can simulate noise. I still gotta do my lawn. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how these handle and sound going with our trip. Should be able to cover most of the flight. I think it's like a 5.5 hour flight to San Jose from here.
Word. All right. So that's awesome. Thanks for that impression of the wireless earbuds from Monoprice. That's dope. A couple of things I did see, 12 useful Linux commands. I'm a fan. As you already know, I use it. I love it. I've been using it since 2008, I think, give or take. I've been playing around with Linux that long to now it's my daily driver. So I always try to find different things in the news that you guys can check out as it relates to that stuff. How to upgrade or downgrade, really. How to downgrade software packages and Linux. There's going to be a link for that. Also, download Instagram stories from a PC. Any comments on those three things?
Okay, so even though you keep saying like it's Linux, it is primarily all Linux commands. But even if you are an Apple user, you can actually open up the terminal windows because that's built on Linux, essentially. Yep, and a lot of these commands actually apply to an Apple system. So it's really great if you need to do any deeper in-depth troubleshooting with your Mac. Actually helps a lot. And it's actually a whole lot easier to do some things just through the terminal window on Macs than it is with their GUI. I really don't like their GUI. But when it comes to Linux stuff, it's like so much easier just to get it done, get it there, and everything else you need to do. So
absolutely.
And I was like looking at the commands. I'm like, yeah, those apply.
Yeah. It's fun. Like software installs I do through that. Flashing ROMs on phones I do to the terminal. You know, when I'm redoing a machine, if I need to do the software upgrades, the actual major upgrade, I'll do that through the terminal. It's just, like you said, it's just much easier to do it that way. So excited about that. So what did you think about, the Google Plus stuff? Did we talk about that? I don't know if we talked about that last week. I don't know.
I think it was last week.
Yeah. But, as things unfold with the fact that, it's due to the data leak as well as the fact that no one really uses it. You know, I've had some time to kind of think about it, but I definitely want to pitch it to you first before I say anything else.
I know that Google Plus exists. I just never knew how to properly use it. I don't know. I'm glad that I guess they're shutting down. They're getting rid of it, obviously, because of data leak and stuff like that. But I didn't see any true purpose or growth from it. And I was And I would go in periodically, maybe every few months, I'll go and see, you know, how people are using it. And really, it was just a dead platform, which kind of sucks, because usually Google's really good at, you know, being innovative, except with Plus, which I jumped on that real quick in the beginning, and I tried it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't like this.
You don't like it?
No.
You're just like, no.
Still don't. So I'm like, okay, if you're gonna get rid of it, that's fine with me. I'm not using it.
Yeah, it's it was very, very neat. I love pretty much most things that Google put out, and you know, we're on Gmail. We use the Google Hangouts. You know, all those things. You know, I have a Nexus tablet that still works as far as the software is on there. I recently changed that. But before I changed that, it was the Google software which worked until they stopped updating it, that kind of a thing. So overall, I think that, you know, Google Photos, Google Drive, I mean, you name it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's really, really dope when it comes to Google stuff. So I'm a fan of Google Podcasts. They're making changes there as well. But one of the things that I wanted to do, I guess, before continuing is I didn't really talk about, like, you know, the show or do any, as you call it, housekeeping. So if you're listening for the first time, thank you so much for listening. The show, you can find out on theshowradio.info/listen. Subscribe there. Use the hashtag TSRpod. And I am Andrew. And you see my awesome co-host over there, Daniela. If you're watching, if you're listening, Daniela, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm chilling. For all the new listeners and we're seeing the numbers and stuff like that. So thanks so much for your support and hanging out with us. So Google Podcast, since we're there, they're simplifying stuff as well as they're giving you the option to trim silences now if you use the app for Google Podcast. So I still love Google, even though there are things that were major concerns, especially when we heard the news with Google Plus and the data leaks, and the fact that the data leak was happening around the same time as the Facebook, you know, Analytica thing, and they didn't want to mention anything about that because they didn't want to get the backlash from, you know, the internet, which, hey, it's the internet, so.
Internet never forgets.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So Google Podcast, outside of your main app, I think we had this conversation. You don't stray too far away from other apps, right? If I remember correctly, once you dedicate yourself to the app that you decided that you're going to use, you stay there because you're loyal.
Yeah. Creature of habit, I guess. I mean, yeah. if it's something that is going well and it does well, I don't really have a reason to leave. So it's like if there's another brand that obviously that comes across that does what I want and does it better, I don't have a problem switching.
Okay.
But if it doesn't, then I'm like, I'm good.
Sweet. That's what's going on with that. Super Data launches a media measurement tool. Google Play Movies may get 4K upgrade soon. Every device that supports Lineage OS, we'll talk about that real quick. Danielle, any thoughts on those things?
I really want to check out more information about the Super Data stuff.
Yeah.
I like it gives like a screenshot of what the analytics would be. But like you're experimenting with different things, especially on the Instagram front, which there's actually an app that I think I saw it yesterday. I have to go and find it. I tagged it. But I thought it was really, really, really cool. And I'll tell you later because I can't remember the name of it. But I'm like, I want to experiment and see that type of grow and see what kind of things it is. I feel like there's nothing wrong with just experimenting and trying out new things.
Yeah.
You might learn something new, might be surprised, and you might find out something you don't like. So
yeah.
This is something that I kind of want to dive into and just see what it is, because it's always interesting to look at numbers. I like numbers.
Yeah. So the thing that's interesting about the Instagram conversation for me now is in the last week, I've received more engagement on the Instagram platform than I have in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks than I have for Twitter. And I'm not surprised, because there are certain platforms that
it seems like they could be so toxic and you have to do so much to keep a serene timeline, right? And I think that, yeah, you decide who you follow. Yeah, you decide who you mute. Yeah, you decide if you want to do a custom timeline, which is what I have now. I have a custom timeline for Twitter, so I don't see any of the sanitation, okay, of Twitter, all right? So you have that. But Instagram has been really fun because it's making me be more thoughtful about creating, right? Because it's easy for me to just, you know, write a post or say, hey, check out this pic. Thanks this company for sending that. That's easy. But when you have to, because you're being thankful, you're showing that you're grateful. But when it comes to actually creating something within like a 60-second window or doing a conversation or a rant about something that took place and you want to do 5 minutes of that on IGTV, that's a whole nother thing. Okay, and that takes effort. And some people won't do it because it takes effort. But the thing is, what I really appreciate about the platform is even if you don't want to do it or you feel some kind of way because somebody's putting out a production of some sort, you respect it because at least the person had the gall to do it, right? The intestinal fortitude to even try it out. Because who knows? If you don't post anything, you don't know what's going to happen. But if you do something, you know, you give your thought about something or some people will respond to that and you don't know where they're responding from. And I think that's been really interesting with the Instagram stuff.
Which reminds me, I'm going to go make a note for myself on that Instagram stuff. Because I know I found something really cool because I noticed that you've been just been posting up more videos about it and trying out different stuff and different locations. So, and one of them you had right sitting right in front of your green screen. So,
yeah.
Made me think of something and make a note of myself.
Yeah, and especially where you are, man, I'd have a field day. Oh my gosh. What?
At least you're an outdoorsy person. I don't like leaving my house. I don't like the beach.
I would have a field day. Oh man, I would have Zen moments every day. Like, but hey, you know, it is what it is. I think that you have a lot to offer. So, I guess just to give you an idea of how I'm doing it is if something comes up and it's like one sentence, I'll write it down real quick because that thought could be the 60 second that I put out. And I don't want to miss that. Like I have one right now waiting for Monday. I'll share it with you later because you're awesome. And you're with me. You're my teammate. So I got to give you scoops. Right. So I have one already written here and if you listen to the show, I'll give you a preview. See that? See, I'm going to give him a preview, Danielle. Can I give him a preview?
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a preview. Okay, this one is about the prestige of podcast studios. That's the next one. And I have a couple of thoughts on that. So, yeah. So that one was pretty, I was like, ooh, I don't know. I got to do 60 seconds about that. We'll see how that pans out. We'll see how that pans out. So, yeah. So, the prestige of podcast studios, because there is that air about it. So, I don't want to spit a rap game to y'all right now. So, I'm going to hold off.
Rap game. Okay.
I'm a hold off. I don't want to give bars right now. But, yeah. So, that's been exciting stuff. Super data, based on what you were saying in regards to that, is that there's a sign-in of some sort. Or you have to request a demo to get access for something. They're probably going to call you, ask you for information and stuff like that before they even consider you doing that. I hope there's no charge involved for that, but it seems like that's kind of a website that they're building on a back end as a product. So Nielsen recently acquired, or Superdata recently acquired Nielsen, or one of those things happened not too long ago. And so you already know that data is going to be super dope.
Very thorough.
Yeah. Yeah. So so you have that. Daniela S7, yes?
Yes.
And S7 does have the option to install Lineage OS. I know you don't. Do you do the ROM stuff? You don't get too caught up in the ROM stuff.
No, I don't. Not anymore.
Yeah.
One time I did, but not really so much anymore.
I'm telling you, it's so good. so good. I mean, for something that's being updated on a regular basis, I would think that it wouldn't be as secure, as stable. Like, this thing is like, I use it more than my S9 now. Okay? That's how good it is. And I'm trying to get to a point where I want to use the software on my S9, but I can't unlock my S9 until it's fully paid off at this time. That's the word on the street at this time. So I'm sure there's probably another way to do it. You got to pay like maybe $40 or something like that to get a super special code to get it done. But I'm like, dude, why do I have to go through all that? I just want the phone unlocked so I can use the software. I'm not leaving T-Mobile, but I can't. But I put it on the Le Echo, and that thing is butter smooth. So yeah. So having said all that, there's a link in the show notes that shows you every device that supports Lineage OS. It could be yours. It could
there's
be
a
yours.
A lot, actually. There's a lot. I'm absolutely. Like going through this entire.
Yeah, S6.
Some phones I didn't even know existed.
S7. You got some Huawei devices. I don't know if there's a Nokia in there somewhere. I mean, there's a whole bunch of phones in there. There's LGs in there. There's HTC phones in there. There's tablets that supports. It's dope. It was worth me doing it based on the fact of how great it is as a daily driver. I'll say that. And it's been fun. So that's what's up. Steam Link. You have that, right?
Yes, I do.
So Steam Link is supporting local co-op by simultaneously streaming to multiple devices. Daniela, what's up with that?
Wait, now I have to go and read.
Like, what is that?
How does it do this?
Tell us.
Oh, it's your Android phone. I don't know if I'm so impressed by that. That's cool. It is for those co-op things.
Okay.
But, man, battery life. That's the hard part, is just having to be, it drains the battery life so much. That's why I stopped using it as much. I'm like, this is cool, but I'd rather just use the Steam machine, Steam Link that I have attached to my TV for this purposes instead. Instead of using my phone, because it's draining my battery a lot. It gets really super hot, and I'm pretty much attached to the wall.
Okay.
Is there a better way for it to be? I don't know. I was like thinking of my little Steam box for, not my, I keep saying Steam box, I shouldn't call it that, but my Steam Link that goes to my TV. I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's cool, but I can kind of do that now. It's all right. It's all right.
Interesting. So that's what's going on there. Google had their showcase, presentation, reveal, if you want to call it that. I think that's fitting. For the new devices made by Google, including the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL, I believe, the big brother. And I don't know if you were able to catch any of that throughout the week in terms of devices and stuff like that. Pixel 2 is still a hot item. Any thoughts on any? So I guess since we talked about a little Google stuff, what are your thoughts on Google, the state of Google right now?
I appreciate my overlords.
Okay.
That's my thoughts on Google. They are my tech overlords, and I accept them. Even if they did fail with Google Plus, they make up for everything else.
Yeah.
The Pixel phone looks really, really nice. And
absolutely.
I don't know when it comes to next year, because it's going to be around next year that I actually plan on getting a new phone. I kind of want to go that direction. It's just, it looks really nice. The pictures look good. We shall see. We shall see if I will jump from the Galaxy fam. Because, you know, it might have a Galaxy S10 and 10 Plus there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So you have that. And then the OnePlus 6T is revealing on the 30th of October.
Yeah, but they're not on Verizon. That's my problem.
Oh, man.
Because if not, I would have very easily chosen that phone.
But is it unlocked?
But I need it to be. I don't think it's accepted on. I still don't think it is accepted on Verizon.
What?
Network.
What kind of thing is this? OnePlus 6T Verizon.
Yeah, because the OnePlus 6 doesn't work on Verizon or Sprint.
Oh, my gosh. Whose idea was this?
Probably Verizon.
And that's another dope phone. That's going to do some waves. Tech specs. Okay, so one of the things that I really appreciate about the camera for the Google Pixel 3 is the fact that when you take a picture and there's a particular, I don't know if it's the mode itself or just the fact that it shoots a whole bunch of sections of the picture and it could recommend the best one that has all the smiles and stuff like that. I thought that was really, really neat. So even if you take a picture and you just missed the moment of the person jumping on the skateboard or, you know, something very, very cool or, you know, a birthday cake moment or something like that, you know, or someone smiling and you just missed 2 out of 3 smiles or something like that, it will recommend that frame and you never miss a memory. So I think that little things like that to capture the moment or moments of your life, I think Google has always been at the very forefront on some of those things. The phone is not super, it's not a super horse as far as, you know, specs, you know, are concerned. I mean, it has the 845 Snapdragon processor. The RAM is like 4 gigs of RAM, which is like kind of like standard now. It wasn't like extreme. You can expand the storage, right? I know some phones still allow you to do that. But overall, the thing that you're getting is you're getting Google, and they're great when it comes to phones. If the Pixel 2 didn't tell you that, then I don't know where you've been, but they have that thing, you know, on lockdown for now, because some companies are coming up really, really strong as well. So
I think for me, when it comes to the phone, it's like you're saying, the specs were kind of pretty standard, nothing innovative there. But it really, for me, it's the camera. It's always the camera. It's not like I take a bunch of selfies, but my phone has pretty much replaced having a digital camera or having my DSLR. I don't get too heavy and too crazy, I guess, photo editing. If I really, really need to, then yeah, I will use my DSLR. But for on the go, capturing moments is just so nice to have your phone there. So that's what means the most to me. As long as it takes really beautiful pictures and I can do really cool stuff with it that way on my phone, I'm good. I'm good and I'm happy. And having a lot of storage space, like I think I'd be the person that buys the phone that has like probably 256 gigs of like internal space. Especially if it doesn't offer, if a phone doesn't offer expandable, you know, storage space, it doesn't allow you to put any, you know, other cards into it.
Right.
Then I would want it to have a lot of space. I want it to have this because very easily, I think my S7 has 32 gigs of internal storage. I fill that up with just the apps that I use.
Okay.
So everything else that I record and take pictures of goes on my external card. It has to. And whatever apps I can move over to the card, I will. But very quickly, I go through that. So 256 really seems like that safe buffer. That I know it's a lot, but it's a really safe point for me to have that much if I can't, you know, add on to it.
Okay. So what about like cloud storage? Are you into that?
No, I'm not. I really am not. The only thing that I have the cloud, like I have like mine on my phone, but I really don't use it to back up my stuff.
Okay. All right.
Not that I take questionable pictures, okay? It's just that there are certain things that I have to respect for personal friends. I do have a friend that I adhere to very specific things for them because I don't want to say they're paranoid, but you know, they're paranoid. So like if I take pictures, they want to know that it's going to stay on my phone. I'm not going to upload it to somewhere because they don't want Russia finding out that they like Captain Crunch cereal or something.
That's really, really out there.
But well, okay. They don't say that specifically, but I do have, you know, I have a security camera that does have cloud storage. That anytime it detects motion, it'll start recording, it uploads there, it saves there. But when, you know, said friend comes over, doesn't like that whole feeling of like it's being watched. So I actually unplug my security cams for those reasons, because it's saved to storage. So it's more of, and he's not the only one. I do have several friends that are like that. So I really don't really use it. It's not because I'm paranoid about it. It's more of, I really don't want to have to hear my friends like, please tell me that didn't save this to the cloud. I don't need it over there. Where is this cloud going?
Wow.
Who is it looking at? Who has access to this cloud? I'm like, nobody does, because it's not attached, okay?
Yeah, that's extra.
You know, it is. But it's like one last thing. And like, I'll do it for my friends. They mean the world to me. Same with my family. I have family members that are like that, so there's no cloud use in my house.
So the interesting part about that whole camera thing and the Google stuff as it relates to then recent reveal made by Google, maybe in a day, I don't even think it was a day, a couple of hours after they were able to extract the Google camera APK and then put it out for Pixel 3. But in terms of the peaches, I don't know where I was going with that. The actual features that are native to Pixel 3, you won't be able to get that with the APK if you stick it on another phone. But in terms of having a Google camera on your phone that is, you know, outside of the Pixel hardware, you can do. So I'm actually running the Google camera on the Le Echo, which is a version 8.0, whatever that 8.0, was that Oreo? I think that's what it is. 8 is Oreo, and then the new one is something else. So I'm running a Google camera on here alongside of my other camera, and it works well. It works well. It doesn't have any issues. If you install the incorrect version, then it won't parse or whatever that is, or it won't, you know, install the way it's supposed to. But you can technically get the Google's Pixel 3 camera right now as an APK. And we'll have a link in the show notes for that.
I'm going to go download that. I didn't realize that, but I haven't really been able to pay attention like that.
Yeah, if that doesn't work and you have Oreo, I think I still have the APK for Oreo on my phone, so I can send you that. Because I think I still have it in the download folder on my phone. So, so that's what's going on with that. Awesome stuff from Google. The only thing that I would like to see from their speaker is to the opportunity to disable the phone feature, because I don't see myself doing a lot of the phone stuff on the Google speaker. I'd much rather have the ability to turn on or off that feature at will. So if they decide to do that later on, that'd be great. So I can have either want to listen to music, great, want to say something for it to pull up Netflix or something like that, that's cool. But having the option to disable the phone number calling feature at will would be dope. So yeah. So that's what's up, Daniela.
Is that it?
I don't know.
That's not it.
I don't know. We can end the show there, but we're not going to do that. Nope. So DC Titans, I know I'm being random today, started watching that finally when Plex came back up. So hopefully I can finish that and then we can talk about it another time. So there's that. So that's in progress. Black Panther for Ryan Coogler, who will write and direct the next one. I think that's exciting. What do you think about that?
Isn't he going to be super busy? I have to go and Google this right now. But isn't he also doing Space Jams?
Hey,
he is, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, he is. He's producing the next Space Jam sequel as well, too. So he's going to be a busy man.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. You know, it's we're looking forward to a good stuff, good movies from Coogler. And I'm okay with that.
I think, yeah. I am too. I think he did a great job with Black Panther. I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. But I'm gonna super judge him on Space Jam 2. I am. I can't help it. And I'm not like a huge. I'm not even close to being a tiny basketball fan. I'm just like, I don't hate on it. I just don't know much about it. I don't really pay attention to sports that way. So. And because of that, I think I asked my coworker this because he's a huge basketball buff. But I guess I'll ask you this too. So is like LeBron James, this generation's Michael Jordan, pretty much.
Okay, so that's dangerous grounds right now. That's very dangerous.
Because, well, educate me here, because I asked this to my coworker, and he's like, I guess he would be. But then I asked him, like, but is he as good of an athlete as Michael Jordan was, or is he better?
Okay.
And he went on to saying that LeBron James is a better athlete than Michael Jordan, and that if those two at Michael Jordan's peak, if they could somehow be playing against each other, that he feels that LeBron James would, you know, run circles around him. But if you went by popularity, then LeBron James wouldn't be the right person to have in Space Jam that Stephen Curry wow. would be. And I'm like, I don't even know what's happening
or what is this? It's so dangerous. The question you asked is so dangerous. Like, I really have to think about how I want to answer this question. Okay. So first of all, we have to take into account, I don't know how I want to go into this, but let's start here. Different eras, different rules of basketball, right? This generation, you can barely touch the players because they're so protected and the way they play. That's why you have the evolution of so many great shooters, because they're so lethal. Even though you look at your Klay Thompson and Curry for Golden State, like they're great marksmen, right? But they can't be touched like back in the way Jordan and those guys played basketball. Like they were like hardcore, like fighting. They were rough. It was contact sport. Now it's not really a contact sport. Like, you know, you go in and as soon as you go in, there's a foul immediately. And in terms of comparing Michael Jordan to anybody else, if we lined up all these players now, Michael Jordan, the way he played was so unreal to us watching it on screen. We didn't believe 90% of the things that we were seeing him do. So comparing Jordan to anybody else is just silly. Now, one of the things I really appreciate about, you know, Kobe Bryant is he loved Michael Jordan so much. It seemed like everything he did was, you know, he studied everything that Jordan did. So it was almost not necessarily a copy per se, which a lot of people would say that, but you can tell that he was highly influenced by one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player of all time in that generation. And even now we're still talking about Michael Jordan. So I can't even compare Michael Jordan to Kobe or I should say put Kobe next to Jordan or put LeBron next to Jordan. I don't think it's fair. Okay. Now, if you're looking at stuff like who's the best free throw shooter for an era or something like that in terms of percentage, I'll look at stuff like that. But in terms of skill set and stuff like that, I try to stay away from that. Like if you look at, what's his name? Jesus Shuttlesworth. Why can't I think of his name right now? I can think of that name when he played in the movie, but I can't think of his name right now. I'm drawing a blank. But he played for Boston. He was a iconic three-point shooter, and his name is escaping me right now. I don't know why. So I got to look it up because why can't I think of his name?
Well, while you're looking it up,
Boston...
LeBron James is a good choice for the sequel.
I guess. I mean, who would you pick? Because Kobe's not around.
Like I said, I don't really watch basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, because I'm thinking about it right now, and I don't know who I would pick outside of that. Ray Allen. That's what I'm thinking about. Oh, why, dude? I couldn't even think. Okay, so Ray Allen had one of the best free throw percentage. At the free throw line, you know, when you had the line, you have to shoot like two shots at times, mm-hmm. you know, like when they get fouled and stuff like that. So he was one of the greatest percentages. I think he had 90%. It was pretty high. I think Mark Price had a pretty high percentage as well. And, you know, stuff like that. I think, wow, if you can be that consistent at the line, that's great. So 3 points shooting, you can throw a Ray Allen in there. You can throw, of course, Steph Curry. You can throw him in there. You can throw Klay Thompson, which is they happen to be on the same team, and they're both marksmen, you know, from the 3-point line. So stuff like that, I try to be safe as it relates to that. But when you're talking about, you know, somebody who had a song, you know, a jingle for him, you know, as like my, you know, like Mike, if I could be like Mike, when you have that and your sneakers are selling still, like, I can't do it. I can't even do it. So, you know, in terms of having conversations with people, you know, cracking jokes and stuff like that. Yeah. You could say this guy is better than that guy, but I would leave Magic alone in his own category. Okay. Jordan, obviously, Bird, obviously, Barkley, you know, he gets a lot of flack because he's a broadcaster now and he talks about all these other players, which there's a lot of other people that do that as well, but he gets a lot of flack because they use the fact that he didn't win a championship against them, that he doesn't have basketball knowledge, and I think he does, and I think that's unfair, but Jordan is completely different category of his own. LeBron is great. Jordan would never leave his team to go on another team, although he left Chicago later on, but he would not chase a ring. People came to play with him, and that's how they won rings with Michael Jordan. I don't recall Michael Jordan ever leaving a team to go get rings. And I think that's another thing that we have to take into account, because he was that great. And everybody wanted to play against him. Everybody wanted to have an opportunity to square up against one of the greatest that ever played the game. So I think I don't even try to do that.
That was such a loaded question.
It's not fair. It's not right. It's it's blasphemy, and so many accounts. But if you compare that, I think that you're not really looking at the nuances of the game as well as the rules that applied for that particular generation, and even now, and how the players play. I mean, shooting threes everywhere. It's a different game today. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So tell that person to evaluate that, because that's...
I'm just going to clip your whole thing.
Blasphemy.
There's no way.
Gotta leave it there. So percentages, you know, assists per game, doubles, you know, two categories you score double digits, triples, three categories you score double digits, you know, stuff like that, you know... That could be looked at as great, you know, relentless player, aggressive player, like Russell Westbrook, one of the most relentless players in terms of drive and tenacity and never giving up. They take that aspect of his personality and compare that to Michael Jordan, right? Stuff like that. But in terms of skill set, they don't do that. So stuff like that. I got to stop. We got other stuff to talk about. Yeah. So Coogler, right, Daniela?
Yeah. He's going to be, you know, doing Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
Without Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have that. So that's how I feel about the basketball stuff. I try to leave it there. Coogler, excited about Ryan Coogler, with Black Panther. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, DC Titans, going through that. Danielle, I definitely want to hear your take on that. So, definitely check that out when you get a chance. And I want to just break that down with you, soon, maybe in an upcoming episode or two.
We can do it in the next episode, because I actually subscribed to the DC Universe service.
Nice.
I had to. I did. I tried to convince myself not to. I kept putting it off. And I'm like, you know what? Even though I can watch these things on these other platforms, I enjoy DC. This is a great way for me to, like, really super catch up on the comics without actually having to buy physical things. Because, you know, all I'm going to do is really hold on to them when I don't need to hold on to them. And what like to collect them, I just don't have the space. So I think this is a great balance, and I made that jump.
Word. Yeah, so let's definitely do that. Just a couple of things as far as some bits about our sponsors, ProXPN. ProXPN is a free, easy-to-use VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to get 20% off of the lifetime of your account. Visit theshowradio.info/proxpn and use the promo code SHORAM for 20% off of the lifetime of your account. This episode is also brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes cooking fun and easy. Blue Apron provides you with all the ingredients that you need to make a delicious meal in exactly the right proportions. To get $30 off your first Blue Apron order, visit theshowradio.info/Blue Apron. Daniela, so yes. You hit me up with this Discord stuff. Discord store, first on Discord. What is going on with that?
So originally, I kind of got a hint of this. There's actually a game that's coming out called The Last Year, which was amazingly announced before Dead by Daylight. It has the same type of like survival thing where it's a 1v4 or 1v5 multiplayer game, but it was announced before Dead by Daylight, and it's a very made by a small studio. Well, they came out with their update that, hey, we're going to be releasing, and I think they announced like this 3 weeks ago, that it was going to be on Discord. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I didn't realize that there's so many other games that are also going to be doing this. So they're not going to be available on GOG or Steam or those typical ways that we're finding our PC games now. It's going to be on Discord first, which I don't think you can... the standard Discord users, the store isn't even live on our platform yet. I think you have to either be in their beta testing, their friends and family, or a Discord Nitro user, which is their monthly subscription that they have to have access to that. I'm sure eventually they're going to open it up for public use for everyone. But they came out with their list of the first on Discord games, which that pretty much means that... it's kind of like how PlayStation has their exclusivity. So it's a time thing where it'll be on here, be on Discord for first, and then it will be distributed through all typical normal means after the fact. How long after? I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't found any information about how long they're going to be holding onto that. But I think their initial blog post consists of, let's see, Last Year, The Nightmare, King of the Hat, Sinner, Sacrifice for Redemption, At Sundown, Bad North, Mad Machines, Minion Masters, and those are the first initial ones that they're going to be having and offering through there. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like I'm always going to be a Steam user, always. And over the last several months, we've seen Steam finally make some GUI changes and updates that did reflect very much something that's similar to what Discord has going on. Steam is also making that jump to being that live streaming platform for PC games. So I guess with Discord's update that they're going to be coming up, I guess it makes sense. I don't know the likelihood of me actually using that service though.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Like any service, really. Any service can be hacked. But for me, I feel like there's something in Discord's coding somewhere. I don't know. I don't dissect it like that. That I don't have a warm and fuzzy feeling of like, yeah, I can trust to put my credit card information on a Discord server or Discord itself to make purchases. If they have gift cards, or maybe I can attach my PayPal instead. Maybe I feel more comfortable about it. But I'm not too sure.
Okay, so PayPal would get you, Samsung Pay will get you?
I don't even use Samsung Pay. I don't even use Google Pay.
Okay.
So I'm one of those weird paranoid people.
Okay.
When it comes to my money, I'm very, very cautious about what it's attached to. If it does have PayPal though, because I've never had a bad PayPal experience on ever having to purchase something like that. That's why I feel so confident in it. But if it gives me that option that I can make purchases with a linked PayPal account, then sure, I will give it a try. But if it's going to ask me directly outright for my credit card information, I probably won't.
Okay, that's fair. It's fair enough with that. Fair enough with that. So let me get back to here. Ninja Theory establishes Senua's scholarship to train mental health tutors. Daniela, you played the game. You loved the game. Sound engineering was amazing in the game. What are your thoughts about this scholarship deal?
I think this is cool. I love what they're doing and going forward. I wish bigger studios would promote the same type of things too. I mean, I think even their popularity and how well that they did with everything even surprised them in a way. But they did a great job. I'm happy for it.
Yeah. It was a small team, I think about 20, from what I recall. And the game that they put out was amazing.
For the Senua Scholarship, it's in partnership with organizations Head to Toe Charity, which will allow a student each year to train with the organization to become a mental health tutor. I don't think there's enough of that out there. Especially since World Mental Health Day was earlier this week, too.
Yep.
Yep.
That was very, very timely, for sure. So you have that. Definitely check that out. Link will be in the show notes for that. 37 minutes of Throne Breaker, The Witcher Tales. Going to have a link for that in the show notes. There's a lot of ongoing games that are taking up a lot of time. I mean, what's your main game right now? Well, if you had to say these are the top two, what do you got?
My main game right now?
Yeah. Like outside of the fact that you've been cleaning this you know, you've been super decluttering.
Oh, you mean life simulator doesn't count?
No, life simulator does not count. What is your main jam? If you had to say this is it and there's a number two and then that's it.
I guess it'd be Fortnite, but I haven't even, I play that like once a week now. I've like weaned myself off of it.
Okay.
Number one game. I don't think I have one right now at all. I don't have a go-to at the moment. There, like right now, if I was to choose one game, like I'm going to go and play this right now, I can't do that. Like there's so much that I have to play and I want to play, but there isn't one that like, you know what? I can play this today. I can play this every day. I can play this any time of the day.
Okay. So let's tighten up the framework a little bit. Okay. You are going into the winter, okay, and you only have two games that you can play from now, let's say, until March. What would that game be? Two games.
If I could just hibernate with just these two games.
Two games.
I would Final Fantasy 14, because I can play a lot of catch up there, and I think, I don't even think those 6 months would be enough time to catch up with how far behind yeah, but Final Fantasy 14. And then the second one, can I just put another MMO, even though I haven't downloaded it?
Two games, whatever you want. Yet.
Maple Story 2.
Okay. Okay. That's...
I'm gonna stick with those.
So it wasn't Fortnite. Interesting.
No, it wasn't Fortnite. Because the game is fun, but at the same time, I need something. If I'm going to hibernate with a game for 6 months, I want it to have depth. I want it to have a story. I want it to have interaction. I don't want the same thing over and over.
Okay. Fair enough. That's cool. What?
Dark Louse. Yes, let's play Maple Story 2. I know it came out. I tried to play it on my phone. It wasn't very good on my phone. It was very hard and very battery consuming. But yeah, I haven't downloaded Dark Louse. I haven't started it yet. I've been cleaning mode. I know all my friends jumped on it. Maple Story, just like, man, a lot of my high school time was spent playing Maple Story. I have no regrets.
Very interesting. Very interesting list. Well, you already know what one would be for me.
Destiny.
Absolutely. I'm pretty predictable when it comes to that. Game number two, I don't know. That'd be a tough one for me. I really like Paladins. I'm a fan of Paladins. I don't do Mega Man like that, so it wouldn't be anything like that. Sonics, I haven't played Sonics in a while. So it'd be Destiny and something else. It wouldn't be Black Ops. I don't think so. Not consistently like that. It would have to be really RPG-esque in nature. For me to, it may just be Destiny.
What about like Borderlands? Would you play?
I really like Borderlands. Like, if they did a new one, or you mean like the ones that's already out?
It's made a new one.
If they made a new one? Well, it would have to have elements that are ongoing, very similar to Destiny, for me to be captivated by it, right? I know, yeah. Red Dead is trying to do that. GTA has been doing that for a hot minute now, especially with GTA 5. That's like super, super crazy in terms of how well that game has done. So, but yeah, so it would be, you know what? It would be Destiny and Yakuza. I think I might have to do that. If I couldn't have paladins. Yeah. I think if I couldn't do paladins and Destiny at the same time, I'd probably just switch it. I'll do Yakuza and then Destiny, and then I'll rock out till March, which most of the year I'm playing Destiny anyway, so that's not a surprise. So that's what's going on with that. I did see a video where it was showing a legendary Nintendo 64, the shooter, GoldenEye, in the Unreal Engine 4, and I think they're trying to prep that to release to match the 25th anniversary or something like that, to release it around the same time.
I think it would actually do really good.
It looks really good.
I think it would be received very well.
Yeah, that looks really, really good. So I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with that. West Virginia has announced a partnership for an upcoming tourism campaign with publisher Bethesda Softworks. That's a thing. Any thoughts on that? Fallout 76?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. I'm like, you want to show what West Virginia looks like in a nuclear fallout?
Hey, Fallout 76.
But I don't know. I guess that's cool. That's definitely very different. Very, very different.
Very different. Agreed. And after doing random thoughts about GTA 5, GTA 5 is getting a feature documentary, I guess, to document the super success of the game. That game has done so well. I don't know if they probably knew it was going to do that well, especially with the way they built GTA Online. But yeah, your thoughts on that?
I think this is great for, obviously, the state of West Virginia. But it's 100% a marketing play for Fallout 76, especially since that song, West Virginia, it's like their theme song for, I don't know. It was just me. I have no clue what even to think about this, because I think it's just two weird things to come together of like, yes, let's hire Bethesda to make our tourism things to make our state more appealing for people to come and visit. What is in West Virginia?
I don't know, Daniela. People? Houses?
Well, I'm sure the people cars. Is great, but like, what is West Virginia known for?
No idea. You know what? Let's Google that. What is West Virginia known for? We're about to find out. Ah, okay. This is good. This is good. West Virginia is often considered one of the more scenic states in the nation, and several of the most beloved sites in the Mountain State center around its natural beauty. But West Virginia is also known for its Civil War history, grand resorts, and architectural feats.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, West Virginia, you're not more scenic than Hawaii, okay? Just going to put that out there. You can have everything else, but you're not more scenic.
Maybe? Nah, I don't think so either. Not Hawaii.
You know, people in West Virginia would be like, I'd rather go and check out the scenery in Hawaii. I'm just going to put that out there.
With, yeah, don't windows add. Open all year long.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. So that's what's going on with that. Yeah, GTA. So, you know, GTA, Daniela, documentary. Grand Theft Auto 5 documentary. The game has done over 80 plus, I don't know if it's million or billion, whatever. I don't even know if it's an M or a B at this point. But the game has done extremely well. And I haven't heard of a GTA 6 right now. It's doing so well, they're not even talking about GTA 6. I know there's, you know, consoles being considered to be talked about and put on the table for next generation, but they're not even talking about GTA 6 right now. So this documentary,
their whole focus is going to be on getting Red Dead up, and then once Red Dead Online is fully functional and bugs out, probably in a year, then I think we'll hear about Grand Theft Auto 6.
I don't know, Daniela. They're doing fine.
Eventually, this game has to like die out at some point. At some point.
At some point.
Go move on to 6.
At some point. So you have that documentary is being it's in the works. So we'll have a link in the show notes for that. Microsoft is close to finalizing a deal to acquire Obsidian Entertainment, the acclaimed developer behind the likes of Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas, and Pillars of Eternity. Any thoughts on that?
Nothing there.
So look into that, guys, if that's your thing. That is good for Microsoft to get some in-house stuff. That's always good. Microsoft has announced a project. Okay, yeah, so we're gonna hang our hats a little bit here. Project X Cloud, a major new game streaming service designed to bring console quality gaming to devices such as smartphones. That's Daniela. You can hit that first.
All right. I'm just gonna project this right now that eventually, like, even though we're very heavily into the whole gaming scene and that entire industry, it feels like it is as popular as it really is, but it's not more popular than a movies or TV entertainment as a form of entertainment. I think the way that companies are going forward now, even with like Google coming out with their Project Stream service, and then you have Microsoft with their Project X Cloud and their gaming service that they're going to be coming out with, eventually, I want to say probably the next 5 years, that video games will be equally entertaining and as popular as movies. I think that's a huge thing. Even though it has a pretty strong foothold in the whole entertainment genre, I guess you can say, or is it really a genre? But this I still don't know how to feel. I feel about, like, bringing you this service of everything that they have in cloud form. Now, if they can do it without it, you know, constant buffering, lag issues, I think they're fully capable of it. And it's going to be, I don't know how to put it. It's going to take away the reason for having any discs, period. Like the distribution of physical copies of games. If, like, what's the point? Even now, people are choosing to have that downloadable content over this. And then, right, to bring it to you in a more feasible way, what's the point? Save the space. You can have it on anything that you have. I mean, I'm sure, like, you're going to be able to not only have it on top of your phone, but have it on top of your tablet, your PC, all of these things centrally located. Because you kind of have that now with their Play Anywhere, I think it's called, where you can have, like, oh, you have, you know, you own this game on console, you automatically have it for Windows.
Right.
I just don't know how I feel about that.
Okay.
I really, really don't. I like the physical copies of things. And I feel once one console does it, they're all going to do it, which they kind of do in their own way. And I'm very curious about this next step in the next gen consoles.
Okay.
I think, do you have this as a topic for later on about cross platforms? I thought I saw this on there.
Yeah, I have a question as far as crossplay is concerned.
Which I think my thing will tie into that thing as well, too.
That's fine. So,
but,
go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other thing that I guess that I'm worried about, I don't have to worry about it because currently right now I don't have data throttling, is that how many people will jump on this service and have an internet service provider that does throttle their data? Or actually has that cutoff point. Because even as streamers, I see it happen a lot where, like, 2.5-3 weeks into the month, they're like, oh, I can't stream, I can't play this, I can't watch this on Netflix because I hit my data limit already.
That's not cool.
And usually people can get past that if, you know, they spend more money and get a bigger package or pay for some unlimited. Or I've seen people even go through the choice of just moving somewhere in which they have better options with internet service providers to get, you know, the unlimited data. So when you include it into a cloud form, will those people still get it? Or will they just adhere to our traditional ways of, you know, physical medium or just downloading it? Oh no, I don't know.
All right. So let's take some bits out of this thing here. Entertainment should be available on demand and accessible from any screen. Today, I'm excited to share with you one of our key projects that will take us on an accelerated journey to the future world, Project X Cloud. So you have that. And then one of the things that it says in the thing, it talks about whether they prefer console or PC, new choices and when and where they play while giving mobile-only players access to worlds, characters, and immersive stories they haven't been able to experience before. Now, I've been very, very cautious with the PlayStation Now's Project Anywhere's and subscription model of sorts that have games behind a paywall, and even the new Xbox thing. What is it called? They have a subscription service that you can do games and grab games and stuff like that, whatever that's called. I don't know if it's a monthly fee for that too. So I've stayed away from those things because, you know, to your point, with getting the physical copy of a game and then knowing for a fact that I'm going to have that game, which I've kept a good portion of those, unless I know for a fact that I have a digital copy of it, then I may, you know, consider to give it away because I have the game. But if you're telling me I need to pay a subscription fee, $9.99 or whatever, which seems like I'm okay with the movies thing, I get it. I know you were going to go there, not you personally, Daniela, but you listening. I know you're going to go there. But yeah, I do it with Netflix. I do it with Hulu. But I don't do it with games. Technically, I do because of the PlayStation service where PS Plus games, once I don't pay PS Plus anymore, then those games are locked behind the thing. And then once I start paying again, then I have access to those games again. But I don't, if I can own the game outright, and I don't have to worry about those services, then I'm okay. Now, playing games on any screen on a mobile stuff like that, which is what this is really targeting, for individuals who want to play their experiences on the mobile platform, I don't see it being my thing yet. Even having a decent phone like the S9, which I'm not even using right now because I like the OS on the phone that I have right now. So playing games on the mobile platform is not at the top of my list as far as interest. What I like to do on the phones involve content consumption, whether that's audio. Most of it is audio at this point, as far as podcasts are concerned. So I do more of that on the phone, whether it's, you know, talking to individuals, you know, connecting with them on like a IG chat or Discord chat and stuff like that. I'll do those things. But in terms of staying there and playing Sonic on the phone or something like that, I don't see that for me right now. So this is not being targeted for me. And I think that as I watch it play out, I didn't jump on the PlayStation Now wagon and other streaming services as it relates to games, but it seems like I'm more okay with doing it with movies than games. So I'm not their target market right now, is at the end of the day is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I have to be with you on that one because it's the Xbox Games Now, I think that's what it's called.
Xbox Game Pass. I got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Game Pass. I don't think it's necessarily being marketed towards like us, gamers like us. I think it's, I can see it being beneficial for those who can't afford to spend $60 on a game or is notorious for buying games and not finishing them or just wanting to see what it's like and experiencing it, which there is a pretty big market for that right now. There really is, especially those who, you know, who their only two games they'll buy an entire year is a Call of Duty and
say FIFA. Destiny.
No, not Destiny, but like there's still
FIFA, Madden's
only two games.
Yeah,
yeah, they'll buy one sport game and buy their one shooter and they're happy with those two things, but they will want to try out different things. They just don't want to make the commitment on buying, you know, a whole game. So if there is a pay service for this in this X cloud of theirs, then it'll definitely be marketed towards them. But like I said earlier, I'm not so much a cloud person. So
yeah,
it's cool. I can't also see it picturing it being that great to play. Like I guess when it comes to mobile devices, I can't picture it running as smoothly as great. Like I can't picture playing an Xbox One game and thinking it's going to look great on my phone or run smoothly. But if it's a original Xbox game or even a 360 game, then maybe.
Yeah, I could see it.
But that's kind of it. I'm not sure about it, but I feel like if it takes off and it does really well, then, you know, maybe the Switch will probably fall behind it. PlayStation falls behind, or maybe even a whole other service. Don't know. But right now, I'm not really so impressed. I'll pay attention to it because I'm always interested in new technology, but it's not something I'm like impressed by.
Right. And the thing to be fair with it is what I do see a lot now is I just want convenience, right? In terms of accessing my stuff. And that's exactly what they're doing. You know, it's very convenient to access the stuff, but if it's going to be accessing the stuff behind a paywall with all these things, I don't know. That may not be my thing. But when you're looking at, I was going somewhere with that and it just ran away from me. So Google casting, you know, convenience, where I was trying to cast Prime Video through a Google thing and I had to jump through hoops to do that because Prime Video doesn't let you automatically cast via a Google Cast native. I think it might have that for the Amazon Fire Stick, but as far as a Googler trying to natively cast from Prime Video, you can't do that, right? So to me, that's not convenient. So I have to open up a generic casting on the phone and then open up Prime Video. Then it automatically kind of like spreads out on the screen. It stretches, and that's not native, but I get it. You know, you have your own product and you want people to get that feature through that. But most apps on you know, Google or Android, if that makes any sense, according to what I'm saying right now, I can cast Netflix, Hulu, any other major app, NBC, you know, Showtime, HBO Go, any other app. When it comes to Prime Video, I can't do that. So little things like that, you know. But in terms of convenience, I get the convenience part. It is what it is. I'm not you know, coming down on it because it's something that we don't have a whole bunch of information on yet, but I could see the value for the individuals who love that aspect of it, that particular target market.
Yeah. I think if going back on your comment about, you know, the ease of accessibility and just convenience, the one that is doing that right is the Nintendo Switch. That is, I have to say, the most convenient, the most versatile, the most mobile. They have that hands down. As long as you can bring that with you everywhere, and as long as you get somehow internet connection, oh, I'm going to download this game. I'm going to have this game. I want this. And just play it on the go.
Yeah. They're porting everything, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're definitely right about that. Okay. So that's cool. That's what's going on with that. Cyberpunk 2077 gets help from studio which built Dying Light PvP. And, you know, thoughts on that?
I find it very interesting with that possibility of Cyberpunk being a multiplayer, although that is not going to be their selling point. I think they teased about that a little bit earlier, and they just 100% confirmed that when it does launch, it's going to be a single player experience. So maybe they'll release it later. Maybe they just need a little bit extra help. You don't really know. All I do know is they still haven't given a release date.
Right.
That's crazy. The game's going to be so hyped up. I can't wait till they announce it. When they announce a release date, man, that's going to be as surprising and as hype as it was when they announced or they showed it at E3 this year. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful game. So a lot of studios, a lot of companies are doing that, collabing. Destiny did that with, I don't know if it was High Moon. That sounds right to me right now, but it could be completely wrong. High Moon Studios. Developer used to appear at independent studio. Developer acquired video game Vivendi. Activision Blizzard. Okay, so that sounds right to me. Okay, so collabs happen. Long-term partnerships happen, especially if a particular company has a you know, special talent in a particular area. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know, based on what you said. I'm looking forward to it. That's really what the bottom line is with that. So Xbox October 2018 rollout, according to some of the things I was seeing with that, make sure that did I skip anything? No, I'm good. According to some of the things I saw with that is this was a huge rollout. That happened on October 11th, according to when the news came out. When it was posted, a couple of things here. Xbox Avatar stuff. New skill for Cortana and Alexa. Dolby Vision video streaming on Xbox One, which is huge. New languages for Narrator. Daniela, thoughts on that?
I haven't changed or touched my avatar since the day I bought my Xbox 360. I don't know when that was, but that's a really long time.
It's a long time.
And my original Xbox 360, the very first one, I haven't really touched it. I mean, I might have once or twice, but it's been wearing the same clothes
for a really long time. Haven't taken a shower or anything like that.
It's no, just, I think I still have the default background setting on it too. Like, no, maybe I have that graffiti one, whatever it was called, but I haven't really touched it. And the other night I saw that Gutter was changing his avatar and I'm like, you're changing your avatar? Because he hasn't changed his avatar in pretty much just as long as I have. And it's like, you're going to change it? I am not touching mine. That thing is... it's just OG, it's going to be there. But I didn't know that there's an option for you to be able to create a new one and then still use your old avatar if you so chose to. But I don't know. Those little things like that never appeal to me. Obviously, I'm not the audience that they're aiming at. But I don't care for changing my avatar. Like, it is what it is. There you go. You're done. All that matters is that you see my name.
That's about it.
I don't care what my avatar looks like. That is. Same thing with my my PlayStation. Like, my icon for my PlayStation has been the same one since my PS3. And I remember I said that the day that I bought Alice Returns, I think it was. That's a really long time. And I don't plan on changing that anytime either. It doesn't. But what does sound cool is that whole Cortana Alexa skill thing, which I don't know. That thing, those kind of things are funny. But as a streamer, and it reminded me, because my boyfriend used to do this to people who used to watch his stream via the Xbox app. He reminded me when he used to do it. Because I never understood why he did it in the middle of his streams, where he would be like, turn off my Xbox. And then he'll wait for a brief pause and say, yes, because your Xbox would ask, is this what you want? And he would turn off people's Xboxes as they're watching him through his Twitch app.
Wow.
Xbox. And I was like, oh, that's how you do it. And that's funny, but that's so trolly at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Xbox skill, Cortana, Alexa. Oh, I don't have one on a device. Yeah. Why did I look around like, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah. So that's going to be neat for that audience and device. For sure. So that's what's going on with that. 343 Industries is developing a mixtape approach to customize matchmaking and Halo, the Master Chief Collection. I think that's pretty cool. I haven't played Halo in a while, but it's still a beautiful game. The Master Chief Collection is dope in terms of looks and graphics. Same thing for Halo 5 Guardians. Still a dope looking game at 60 frames per second. Any thoughts on that?
No.
Nothing there. Next one, we have Metal Gear 2 and 3 now backwards compatible with Xbox One. A PlayStation 4 crashing due to malicious messages. Kind of briefly talked about that earlier. Any thoughts on those two things?
I feel when it comes to those malicious messages or people find out like, oh, I can do this to you. I'm sure the first person who did that wanted to do it just because like, hey, they find some satisfaction in finding this loophole, this little bug or glitch. But I feel like every person after that that figures out that happens or how to trigger it and how to make it happen on purpose reminds me of AOL days in the chat rooms. Those script kiddies, they're like, oh, if I can download this, I can do this inside the chat room. Or those people who like, oh, I don't know how to get this Beanie Baby. Oh, pop up the window by pressing Alt+F4. You know, that's what it reminds me of. It's like people when they find out that one thing that like, oh, I feel so big and so powerful, I can do this, and by sending this message, that's what it reminds me of.
Not doing that. I'm not pressing any combination keys that I didn't keybind myself. I'm not doing it. PlayStation crashing. That's yeah. And the other thing too, according to that particular context of what they're talking about for that, is you have to consider tightening up your privacy and the people that can see your stuff or who has access to you, whether people sending you messages and stuff like that. You have to tighten that to friends or no one or et cetera, depending on how you want to do that. So that's what's going on with that. Any final thoughts on that?
So for anybody who doesn't know and doesn't have their settings to only be approved or receive messages from friends, so what it is, basically, what's triggering it is that there's an exploit in the PS4 software code that allows players to use specific characters or characters in the PS4 code that doesn't recognize, which will, if it doesn't recognize it, I think it happens not just on PlayStation, but any platform, even on your phones. If you receive an icon that you don't know of, it shows up as a question mark, like an unknown. So that's what's happening for the PS4. And what it does is just crashes the other person's console. So don't read all of those things. So if you're playing Black Ops 4 over here and you're getting hate messages from people you don't know, just don't even bother opening. Not right now. Hopefully there's going to be a fix that comes out from PlayStation that addresses this. If not, basically what you have to do is just do a full reset of your if your PlayStation, if it's possible, kind of it.
Word.
So that's what reminds me of people who do that.
Yep, that's what's going on with that. Sony working on PS4 successor. So definitely excited about that because I want to see what that's going to be. But that's, we're way, you know, very, very far away from that right now. Thoughts on that?
It won't say it's a PS5, but, you know, it's a PS5. It's
the next one.
The next one.
Yeah.
God, like I said before, because even when we talked about them teasing this, I felt like it was so soon, but PS4 came out like 5 years ago.
It doesn't feel like it.
It really doesn't. It seriously does not. And that's the amazing part. But it's not like they're going to be like, hey, here's the PS5 in 2019. I still feel like we're possibly like 3 years out from getting that PS5.
Yeah.
You know? So we're going to be, it's going to be like an 8 year life cycle then, if I really think about it that way. That's my predictive thing, is that it's going to be 3 years out before they be like, hey, you'll get it in 2021 or 2022, whatever it may be. And I think an 8 year life cycle on the PS4 sounds good, because people are still going to be playing it. They're still going to be using it. And, like, they supported the PS3 for a good couple years after the 4 came out. And only, like, let's put it this way. They only stopped servicing the PS2 this year, and that was 18 years ago. So,
that's right.
You know, they I'm okay with it. I am. Because all they're saying is, we're starting work on it. Don't expect anything else more than that. I will be super, super surprised if come E3 next year, they have any type of announcement for a PS5. I will be.
What about a picture? You take a picture?
That'd be probably, I would take a picture. But I don't expect it to be, you know, this is it. I would expect to see, you know, really nice, fine, polished AutoCAD drawings.
Right.
Of what it could possibly look like. I can expect that, but I'm not going to expect any like hard facts about this is what's going to be the hardware that's going to be running. This is our expectation. It's going to be running in 16K because 8K is already outdated. I really don't know, but just saying, I'm not expecting any hardcore information.
Okay, fair enough. So you got that. Changing PSN names was confirmed earlier this week. So I have a link for that in the show notes. PlayStation sale going on right now. Some titles in there. We'll have a link for that for you in the show notes. Soul Calibur documentary. Let me see. What was that? I'm thinking YouTube videos, right? I think, a part one is linked, in the show notes. So definitely check that out. Any comments on those things?
From the sale, just Neo. Neo is very much worth it. And then the Order 1886, which kind of had mixed feelings.
But love
for
it.
For that price, I think it's great. Because I think the PS price, let me go and look at it again. I think it was like $4.
Dude.
Yeah. That's totally worth it.
That game is creepy good. Yeah. That was a good one. Borderlands 2 VR. I think that's exciting. Daniela, thoughts?
I'm not going to personally try it. I'm not, because I think that's cool. Kind of bring a little bit back life back into the series. But there's already just so much that goes on when you're playing it and not VR that I think it's just going to be so visually and mentally overwhelming to accept that all in a VR situation.
Right.
So I'm not, that's probably going to be the ones I don't touch.
Okay. Fair enough. I think having the game top of mind is good, especially if it's marketing for the next one, if that's a thing. So yeah, that's what's going on with that. Festival of the Lost Destiny 2. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff this year. It's going to be some lights. It's going to be there's going to be an assault rifle that you can get, which is called Horror Story, a legendary auto rifle. Yeah, so look for that. Fear and Fright, you're going to be able to go into the haunted forest, and once you get in there, you have a particular time limit. I think it's 15 minutes to dive as deep as you can into the haunted forest and clear out the nightmares lying in wait. The further you go in, the difficult it's going to get. And then there's some other fun things that you're going to be able to do in there. Treats as well, loot, and it looks very, very colorful. Festival of the Lost begins on Tuesday the 16th and concludes on Tuesday the 6th of November. That's what's going on with that. And also, starting on the 16th, Bungie will bundle both Destiny 2's previous DLCs, DLC packs, and some people are upset about that because it's only a few weeks removed from the actual release of Forsaken, and the fact that you can now buy the packs, Warmind and, which one was the other one? I think it was Warmind and drawing a blank here. So.
Hi, Mock. Mock would know these different things. He plays a lot of Destiny 2.
Yeah. The two recent ones, I'm like, why they feel so far removed from me. A Warmind and something else. And the fact that they're bundling them up.
Are they increasing the price, or is it just in one set price for whatever the Forsaken expansion is? Warmind and Osiris?
Yeah, Osiris. Right. And, you know, I should have known that. And the reason I say that is because Osiris had one of the longest cycles to get weapons. You had to fill this chart on the wall next to Brother Vance of all these different weapons to get a ghost shell, which seemed like it took forever. And outside of that, Osiris was, to some, you know, not that great. I enjoyed it because I think I enjoy anything Destiny because I'm biased in a lot of ways when it comes to the game. But yeah, that's what's going on with that. Close some windows.
Okay, so people are upset because this is going to be combined and it's too soon from when it was originally released. Is it more so because did you spend more money overall in the course of it?
Yeah,
and so do those that already own the DLC packs and the expansion and they bought it separately, do they get some kind of benefits for themselves? Like, hey, thanks for being an early adopter. Here's some extra goodies.
Yeah, let's look at it. Starting next week, 16th, a bunch of bundle both the previous DLCs. In other words, Forsaken will soon include the Curse of Osiris and Warmind, the two DLCs previously offered in last year's expansion pass. Okay, so yeah, so because it was separate and now you get them bundled together, people are upset about that. It's a neat offer for those yet to nab Forsaken, although it comes just after the game has left September's PlayStation Plus offering. So if you upgraded when that ended, there's a chance you may still have bought the DLC separately and around 6 weeks after Forsaken's original launch. Yeah, so some people be salty about that. And I don't want to dive into the comments.
I feel like it should have been a known thing. It happens. It happens a lot with people who have the expansions and have those DLC packs.
Yeah.
Eventually they get combined sooner or later. And yeah. So even Mock knew it was coming. It's like, it's kind of a given thing when it comes to games like that. And it's not just Destiny. It's all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, even Division had that.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. They want people to play that game. Who doesn't want to play, you know, their game. It's
me.
Sorry. Besides you, Daniela, I mean, I think everybody else is playing Destiny in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's exciting for me because I really love the game, right? So I think it's very, very difficult for me to say anything bad about the game. But the whole situation with getting Destiny to a place where it is now because of the mistakes that a hacker had to find for them to start making the changes, I think that was probably one of the darkest clouds that hung over Destiny until they started making all the changes. Outside of that, I mean, it's great. You can do whatever you want. You can play competitive. You can do, you know, single player. Just roam around by yourself. You can, you know, do PvE if you want to do that. There's so many different things that you could do. You could collect trinkets. You can just do one particular quest for a particular weapon, which I'm doing right now, which is just long quest, but it's going to be rewarding once I get the weapon I'm going to get. So you can do whatever you want. And I think that's the beauty of having the game set up the way it is and the ranking stuff the way it is. And I'll stop there.
Okay. But you've been playing a new game this week.
I have. Yeah. I have. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know. It's not Destiny. You're actually playing something new.
I am. And I'm embracing this this new experience, too. I think it's different. It's different. So these are extremely, extremely light impressions for Black Ops. Okay. So as I said at the top of the show, thank you, Activision, for sending us a copy of the game so we can check out the game and talk about it, which I love when companies do that because it gives us an opportunity to have first, you know, hands-on experiences, first in the sense that we're not reading or watching a video. That's what I mean. So bear with me. But in terms of downloading it, it took a long time, but I knew that was going to happen because I was downloading on the same day that everyone was downloading it. So that was expected. But I am very, very impressed with the game. Okay, so no zombie conversation this time around, but I definitely want to check zombies out this week. But as far as the Blackout experience and the multiplayer experience, it's frustratingly good, okay? Because now I have to relearn the time to kill for Black Ops versus Destiny because that's totally different. Hitboxes I have to relearn. Which is not too bad because they're pretty accurate. So when I'm shooting people in Black Ops 4, I know for a fact that they're getting damaged and it's very accurate. Even if they're on a scooter or a quad, you know, and Blackout, like zooming past. And if I aim and I'm in the range, I know for a fact that's going to hit. That's satisfying as it relates to that. But in terms, when you translate that from the Blackout experiences, which is the Battle Royale, for Call of Duty Black Ops, which is absolutely amazing. What I really like is the sense of community that I'm getting with it when I drop either in quads or duos. I have to learn all this lingo now. So when I drop and the people who I drop with, they actually are talking, which is interesting. I kind of dig that. And
are you playing it on PS4 or Xbox?
PlayStation. Yeah, so I thought that was really neat where people are actually just having a conversation, be like, yeah, I just dropped here. Be like, oh man, you know, I just dropped, man, come get me, you know, pick me up and stuff like that. So that whole experience is with super randoms that are actually having conversations and it's not, you know, toxic and it's not crazy. And that was not even day one or day two. It was like literally within the 2 day that it dropped, right? So that was Saturday. That was yesterday. And everything was cool. And I dug that sense of conversation stuff. I don't even get that in Destiny, which is interesting. I thought I would get that in Destiny than I would get in Black Ops, but that's just, you know, observation. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe I'm not. So you have that. As far as the regular multiplayer aspect of the game, I'm doing really, really bad, but towards the end of the night, Saturday, I started getting my groove because I was actually, I finally unlocked my creator class, which took a while dreading through the initial weapons and classes, default classes that they give you. But once I got past that particular thing and started playing it like I've played Call of Duty in the past, then I felt a little bit more confident with some of the guns, like the, like there's a pulse rifle type weapon, 3-shot burst gun, which I really dug. It doesn't do as much damage, but if you aim chest to dome area and this range, I think you can pretty slay with it, you know. So it's frustrating playing the game because I have to relearn the speed and the time to kill and the ADS of Call of Duty again. But when I was getting a groove yesterday, it's really good. So in terms of the launch for Black Ops 4, I didn't hear any major server anything or anybody having a lot of issues trying to get into games, or I didn't hear anything like that, which was great for them. And also what I did hear that Activision, the digital sales for Black Ops broke Activision and PlayStation records, which is, you know, amazing for them. So definitely congrats on that. But overall, thus far, before I get to overall thus far, for now, quick impressions, right? The fact that they have split screen and they didn't mention that at all, and all the marketing stuff leading up to the game being released, Black Ops 4 has split screen, which is interesting, which they didn't say anything about. I like it. I really like it. And some of the maps I used to play back in the day, classic maps that I felt really comfortable playing again. It's just really getting back into the ADS and the TTK, and I think I should be okay. Blackout is great for me. It took Call of Duty to do the Battle Royale product, as I'd like to call it, for me to play it more than I've played Fortnite anything in the last, what, how many seasons are we in Fortnite? 5 or 6 now?
6.
They're 6, right? So I at least followed that close that I knew that they were in, you know, in that range. But I haven't played more than maybe 2 games of Fortnite versus the amount of games I already played for Black Ops yesterday, the day after release. And I don't have anything bad to say about it. You know, the only thing is, you know, I'm trash in certain maps and I killed a lot. But outside of that, it has nothing to do with the game itself. I just need to be better at, you know, strategizing and stuff like that. But
so considering with your history of battle royales and what's out there and what you've tried, do you think that Blackout is, you know, that's that battle royale that will get you into it and more interested in?
Yeah, it is definitely my cup of tea, right? It's in a universe that, you know, I could relate, because I have a good portion of the games that have released in the last 8, 9, 10 years. It's been a minute, right? Something like that. And I've played most of them. The only thing I probably didn't play is Call of Duty 1 and 2. I played 3, and then 4 was Modern Warfare, right? I think that's the order of that it happened. And World at War went in there maybe after, give or take, between those games. But I probably missed 1 or 2 that I didn't play, but every other one that has come out, even Ghosts, which is the infamous Call of Duty Ghosts to some, played that too. Like, I played all of them with the exception of 1 or 2. But yeah, Blackout is good. It's good. Fortnite, I'm sure, is great too. It's just I never really gave it a chance. And maybe that would make it a little bit easier for me to play it now, because I'm really getting the fact that the game is luck. A lot of it is luck, where you spawn somewhere, there's going to be randomized weapons and stuff on the floor. And whether you do the quads or the duos or whatever, yeah, that's up to you. People are skilled with the way they shoot stuff, then, you know, if you don't know how to shoot or aim, you're going to die, you know, quicker. The circle closing thing is interesting. I had to run away from that a couple of times, or heal myself, which is interesting. But what's interesting, even that whole healing thing, is when you set up your class for the regular team deathmatch for Call of Duty Black Ops 4, I took out the healing feature and put in something else in its place, because I believe that I could take out the person before even having the opportunity. Now, if I miss, then it is what it is. But I think that I'm confident enough where once I get in the groove and I find a gun that I'm super, super confident with, I don't think I'm going to need the healing thing. You know, I'm probably going to be able to take a couple of cats out, but I'll test it. I'll do it without the healing for a while, see how I play there, and then I'll put it back on and see how I play with that. But overall, initially, quick impressions, first look for me, outside of the beta, it's really good.
Using your impact, your scuff impact?
I'm using scuff impact.
Do you have any special button layout that you're running with?
No button layout. Nope. Nothing. Nothing special. Just standard aim. Well, the triggers are stopped. Outside of that, that's about it.
Are you using the back pedals?
No back pedals. I mean, I think two of them are active for jumping and stuff like that. But one is jumping. One is something else. But nope. I don't even use it like that for Destiny. I just do the trigger stops and maybe covers on the thumbsticks. And that's about it.
Okay. Yeah. From my end, because I haven't played it, I'm not really too interested into it, but I have heard and I have noticed that it has definitely been one of the smoothest launches that they've ever had. I don't think it had any problems like you were saying earlier. I know that Gutter has been playing it a lot religiously. He's currently playing it right now.
I don't think that's dedication.
Really, it is a lot of dedication, and you know, it says it feels good. So we just, like, I think for our end, being from Hawaii and living all the way out here, it's definitely the whole ping, which really can't be held. That's not necessarily a problem with the game, but if, you know, they ever want to put a server in Hawaii, I will help with that.
I'll carry it for you guys and bring it to the spot.
But other than that, I mean, I've watched him a few games, and then that's the only thing that amazes me, that people who pre-order, who forget to do the preload, and hey, what's up, Sharif? Who forget to do the preload and then somehow think that, oh, it'll download real fast, like launch day. Like, nah, if you're going to download it on launch day, you might as well just, you know, play it the next day. You're not gonna be able to play it that night. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blackouts looks like a lot of fun. I saw his first win on that and kind of been going ham on it.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know what it is about being in the blackout portion of the game where a kill in there in the game, be careful here, is so much more satisfying than taking somebody out in team deathmatch. I think because there's so much more at stake, right? At least to me, it feels that way. Because if you're down, if you're playing quads and you're down and, you know, your teammate is able to revive you, that's cool. But it just feels like so much more at stake. It's really good. Reef, what's up, man? Gutter, what's going on? Appreciate you guys hanging out. But yeah, it's really good. And I think that same anticipation, that same, you know, energy that you get from, I didn't want to use the word energy because sometimes that word can be so lame to me sometimes, but that emotion that I get heading towards an enemy, whether it's competitive specifically for Destiny and even the blackout portion of this title by Treyarch, it's right. It's just right. And I really like what they're doing with that.
I'm sure if he's downloading Black Ops right now. Right meow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. And last but not least, one of the things I definitely wanted to ask, because I saw this question floating around, Daniela and you individuals hanging in the chats, the crossplay conversation, right? Because even when you were talking about, you know, systems and next generation stuff, and I was just thinking about it, I'm like, is it going to be a modular thing for the next generation? I know PlayStation has for the last two systems, giving you the opportunity to swap out your hard drives very easily. I know some later on and a thing for PlayStation 4, they did the external hard drive situation that you got a chance to do that. But if we were to start framing what the next generation systems would look at, are they going to be things that can be taken apart easier outside of just the hard drive stuff, right? Because we know we have external support, you know, we know we have those things, but are we going to be able to do more in terms of exchanging the different components in the system to make it last even longer? As you mentioned earlier, we're 5 years, right, since PlayStation 4 came out. So I just wanted to hear some random thoughts about that before we start closing.
So you mean like the option to upgrade how much memory or install more memory?
Yeah. Like different things like that. Like how close are we going to get to that? Okay, just to add to that a little bit more, how close are we going to get? Because Xbox just recently announced that you have now the mouse support and keyboard support, right? So how close to the PC are we going to get before we start changing out the parts? You know what I mean? Like, because...
Well, at that point, you might as well just like build your own console.
Right.
But
right.
I can't picture any of them allowing you to be that intricate in upgrading it yourself. I can picture them having different options of like, hey, you can buy the Xbox One S that has 8 gigs of RAM, or you can buy the Xbox One X Plus that has 16 gigs of RAM with XYZ things. I can picture that, like having different tier models.
Yeah.
That simulate kind of what they have right now, but not where you can go and do it yourself, because I think it's going to be as far as what PlayStation allows you to do is swapping the hard drives. Yeah, like Sherry says, they don't want to lose control. I can't picture them having that. On top of that, I think that also increases the chances of having so many consoles being sent back in for repairs. Because even though it seems so simple from our point of view, if you have that technical background to swap out a hard drive, add memory or anything like that, your typical, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry won't have that same type of know-how. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, because a lot of people, even now, I'll see streamers who are putting together, you know, a PC, but they're not grounded. That drives me insane. It's like when you're not properly grounded yourself, because that's not like really typical common knowledge that before you handle any type of electronic components that you should ground yourself out and to avoid any complications there. For me, from a technical standpoint, as a technician, of like the one hand rule of not really handling components using both hands, just specifically because of that whole grounding issue. So when you add that into people being able to, you know, have that option of upgrading their console on their own, yeah, you introduce so much more complications and issues and problems and having to have your console sent in for repairs. So I don't think it would be ideal for any platform to have that as an option. I think as far as just being able to swap out your hard drive, that's already asking a lot for people to understand how to do. I'm not saying that people, you know, aren't bright. I'm just saying that not everybody likes to read instructions.
Right. No, that makes sense.
So I think there's a huge limitations, but I can totally picture them just saying, hey, you can buy this tier one of the Xbox that has 8 gigs and a 1 terabyte hard drive, or you can buy like the supermodel that has 32 gigs of memory with a 2 terabyte hard drive. Like I can picture that.
Yeah. Yes, because the recent thing that they did with the Xbox was a subscription monthly payment thing that they did. What was that? I'm trying to remember the details of that. I think we talked about it. But yeah, so subscription models for everything. I don't think I'll ever completely be sold on that right now. But as far as anticipating the next system, as it relates to the successor for PlayStation 4, I'm excited to see exactly what they're going to do with that. But as it stands now, you know, hard drives, as you mentioned, you know, definitely going to continue getting bigger And we even see the cards, the speed of the cards that we're putting into our phones are getting even faster, as well as the size of the card, you know, it's getting larger as well. So that's all I got. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that as it relates to, the next generation for the console stuff. I think that, we talked about a lot of good stuff today, especially the sports, the Michael Jordan thing. I couldn't answer that. I didn't want to touch that. But, that was pretty intense. But episode 473, any final thoughts before we wrap?
Man,
I know.
No, I think I'm good. I know we're definitely recording. Well, as long as nothing terrible happens, we are recording next Sunday. But then right after that, I'm going to be getting ready. I'm going to go into TwitchCon.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I bought myself a special bag/purse just to carry all my stuff for my mic kits and everything like that. And hopefully, I think it comes in tomorrow or the day after. And hopefully everything fits into there into one nice little compact bag. I like having things come in. Like I said, this has been a very expensive month for me. I've just been buying stuff left and right. But it's all for convenience, ease of use, travel, cleaner, just living a cleaner, more flowy. I don't even think that's the correct word.
Yeah.
I just want my life to flow well. That's it.
So I'm even like thinking about framing the 60 seconds for tomorrow when I drop this. This one is
your teaser here.
Yeah. This 60 seconds on IG tomorrow is going to be dope. I'm looking forward to it. And I think that's all I got. That's all I got right now. That's all I got on it right now. I'm excited. So definitely, thanks so much for hanging out with us in the chat. We really do appreciate your support. Music for this episode is going to be by DJ Cutman, who provided the intro and the outro for this episode 473. And that's all I got. Guys, thanks so much. Daniela, please close us out.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast. You can find the show radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you haven't yet, head over to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatchers and subscribe, rate, and review our show. For our show notes, donation options, visit theshowradio.info. And thanks for tuning in and see you guys on the next one. Bye.